Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Welcome into the Flight Plan Podcast, the first batch of Jets OTAs in the books. We're talking Garrett Wilson contract. What stood out to Zach about the on-the-field action attendance? That's always important. Thanks for joining us here on Flight Plan. Tim McMaster along with Zach Rosenblatt. Hit the like button if you're checking us out on YouTube. Give us a five-star review. Still hoping to build up the five-star reviews on Apple, Spotify, wherever you check out the audio. All of that stuff going on with the Jets and Zach Rosenblatt has 1 week left of bachelorhood.
Oh my God.
How you feeling?
I didn't feel stressed really throughout this whole process. And I've done a lot of the planning. There's the whole cliche that just say yes to everything. But I would say I led the chart. I wouldn't say I planned everything. It was definitely a pretty even split. We're a good team, but I was doing a lot of the research and planning. And so as it gets closer, I think my stress is more about oh shit, all the things that I planned, I hope it's not all terrible and it doesn't all go terrible. there's last second stuff with whatever, just this and that pops up where you're like, oh, God damn it, or leave us alone or whatever it is. But it's exciting. It's a very weird feeling. Anytime, not even just wedding, but anytime you just plan something for a long time and then it's there and then it's over, in a couple hours, pretty much. Cause you spent months, a trip or whatever it is. It's always the weirdest feeling when you actually get to that thing that you've been planning, you do it, and then it's oh man, now it's just over. But very exciting. We leave on Wednesday. It's out of state wedding in Nashville, Tennessee.
We won't say where it is. So yeah, people don't, I guess, try I to like have, find it and crash it. Yeah. I guess Nashville is a big enough city that
yeah.
We won't give the venue listeners away.
Our listeners are pretty good people, I think. So
yes. I didn't mean crash in a negative way. I just meant,
just show up and to hang out. Yeah. Just
show up to hang out with you. Yeah. This one from Dan Water as we do this. Hopes you're on time for your wedding since we're never on time.
I would hope so. That would be tough. That'd be a tough look. I would say Brian Costello, his advice was don't fuck it up to me. And I said, well, I already did because Connor Hughes is going to be there. So I already signed it off.
My advice to people is always just make sure you kind of stop and smell the roses during the whole thing, because it's so, it goes by so fast.
Yeah, a lot of the advice I'm getting is just just try to live in the moment as much as you can while there's a lot of this stuff going on, and whatever's out of your control, don't let it bother you, whatever. But yeah, I'm mostly excited to get in a room with all of our favorite people, because, you know, you don't really get to do that very often in life. As they say, life at your wedding and at your funeral is when everybody's there. So
yeah, and you miss the funeral. So yeah, it's important.
Yeah, you don't get to be there for the funeral. So
speaking of gatherings, that's what the Jets did last week. OTA.
You were gonna say speaking of funerals. I thought you were gonna say speaking of funerals there. No, I was worried.
We're not going that way. I will say this though. The Jets have better attendance numbers than your wedding will have. I could say that because I'm failing you in the wedding and not making a trip to Nashville. So I'm at least me, and I'm keeping you from full attendance. But the Jets, the gang was all there, 100% attendance. Pretty cool. You know, usually you get a good amount for these, but there's always the chance of, you know, a disgruntled player holding out for a contract and skipping OTAs, or player going on an Egyptian vacation, or, you know, all kinds of things just pop up this time of year, but not this year for the Jets. So the players talked about it, being excited to be there. Quinn and Williams had some good things to say about Aaron Glenn, and just saying, like, it just goes to show you, you know, the belief we have in the new staff, the new head coach, and the new regime, the new organization, and the way we want to get this thing going, which was good to hear from Quinn and Zach, because this is the same guy that had a little whoopsie on Twitter when they released Aaron Rodgers, which he also talked about.
Yeah, to Quinn's credit, you know, I think over the years he's kind of said less and less to the media, other than when he was wanted a new contract. He was pretty open about that. But he was pretty, like, honest and, you know, self-reflective about it. The tweet he had was, I guess we're in for another rebuild or whatever. And you kind of can't even blame him, because he's the second longest tenure Jet behind Thomas Hennessy. So he's pretty much
the longest tenure Jet. I read that in your story, I don't think it was shocking, because it makes total sense, but it was like, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. It's all new guys. So, I mean, he's been through, and this is now his third head coaching regime. Fourth, if you count Jeff Ulbrich, but it's pretty much the same one, you know, three defensive coordinators. There's been four different starting quarterbacks that were supposed to be the guy under him now, including Justin Fields, Sam Darnold, and Aaron Rodgers, Zach Wilson. So, like, he's been through a lot of turmoil, a lot of losing. He's never won more than 7 games in a season. So, like, him saying, oh, I guess we're in for another rebuild, like, he shouldn't have tweeted it, obviously, but you don't blame him for feeling it. But I also appreciate it. Like, he's in this press conference, he was asked about it. He said, when I tweeted that, I hadn't even spoken to Aaron Glenn yet. And when I did, he started to buy. I mean, even if whether he believes this or not, like, Aaron Glenn has these guys saying the right things, but he made it clear that he believes in the vision that Aaron Glenn has, the culture he's trying to build. And you see that 100% attendance is nothing to sniff at. I think there's something to be said. This is a young roster. I think generally guys that don't show up for these things are, like, the veterans who don't feel like they need that time. Not even like a shot at Aaron Rodgers or whatever, who actually was at all the OTAs the last couple of years, but there's just older guys who,
right,
will take.
He missed the mandatory. You're right. He was at the optional.
Yeah, he did the opposite. Hassan Reddick was the other one who you kind of jokingly alluded to earlier. But so it is all young guys. It is a group that knows they have a lot to prove. I think there's a lot of guaranteed starters, but there's not a lot of guarantees, like, in terms of a lot of these guys that are fighting for roles, I would say. So this is crucial time. And while it's voluntary, I think with a new coach, it's kind of voluntary in air quotes. I think it says a lot about you if you're not going to show up for a new scheme, new coaching staff, get to know your new teammates, whether you come every day or not. Like, I can't imagine they'll have 100% attendance every single day. Maybe they will. Guys will have things that pop up and you don't need to be there. Like, that's fine. But yeah, it's a really good sign. And I think Quinnen buying in as somebody who is respected in that locker room, he's probably going to be a de facto leader because they don't have anyone over 30. I mean, they got rid of Thomas Morstead, was arguably a leader. They cut him. We're going to get into the special team stuff later. They're down to like 3 30-year-old guys. I think it's Josh Reynolds, Thomas Hennessy, and Tyrod Taylor. And then Lazard will turn 30 when the season starts. Like, it's a young team. I actually asked Aaron Glenn about this. He's talking about the culture and what he's trying to build and the need for, like, leadership and stuff. And so I asked, like, so do you see guys emerging as leaders right now? Because when you don't have 30-plus-year-old, like, Tyrod Taylor's the backup quarterback. Thomas Hennessy's the long snapper. Josh Reynolds is a receiver who just came into the building. And Lazard is somebody who I think has a lot to prove in the leadership department. So I kind of asked him, like, do you anticipate that these guys emerging? Like, what are you looking for? And he actually mentioned Andre Sisco as somebody, you know, and if I'm just looking at this roster and based on how these guys talk, like, you don't have a CJ Mosley around anymore. Whatever you think about Aaron Rodgers, you don't have him around anymore. Even like a Connor McGovern was here for a while as a good leader. You've had some defensive linemen over the years. DJ Reed, like, you had some really good leaders in the locker room and they're gone. So now I look at guys like Garrett Wilson, who just really has his head on straight and has the right mindset. Guys like Quinnen Williams, you know, maybe Sisco would be somebody that'll be a leader on the offensive line. It's all pretty young up there, so it's hard to say that any of those guys will emerge as like leaders. Justin Fields, I think they want to be a leader, but he's more of like the quiet type. So, you know, Jermaine Johnson has the mindset and the right, you know, way of going about things. But these are all pretty young guys who have been in the league for like 3 or 4 years. So it's a group that's, it's probably going to live up to the Robert Saleh, like, these players need to lead themselves thing. Cause I don't know that there's like a guy everybody's going to look to like stand in front of the team and make a speech as of now. Maybe somebody will emerge. Maybe it's like a Jamie and Sherwood or something, but this is a team that has a leadership void, and I'm curious to see if it's just filled by Aaron Glenn or if somebody emerges on this roster.
So as far as the attendance goes, and mentioned last year with Reddick, and there are a couple of guys on this team that could have started to send a message by skipping these OTAs. And obviously that's Sauce and Garrett, the two guys that are up for new contracts. I think the two guys that the team, well, we know that two guys that the team wants to extend in new contracts. But Garrett spoke on it, and as he usually does, he spoke really well. Let's listen to Garrett talking about being there for OTAs and also the contract.
Because I want to be a part of something special. I don't think that a whole bunch of individuals makes something special, you know, as a group aspect. This is a group thing. I wanted to get in and know my teammates. I want to get in to, you know my coaches even. It's a new staff. Learn the material that they're putting out and not be the guy that's behind when, you know, this thing was mandatory, right? There's a way you go about business when you love what you do. And, you know, stuff like that is not really an option. It's, you know, I get the opportunity to come out here and work and make myself better at the game I love. Let's take advantage of it. Let's get to spend time with people that, you know, I've been spending time with, like Justin Ruck. I've been spending time with those guys for 6-7 years now, you know, and it's crazy to say, but when I'm not with them, it's like I miss them, you know. So I don't really feel right when I'm not at work up here. So, you know, that's the mindset on that.
And just to follow on that, how are you hopeful that you might get a new contract before the start of the season? Like, where do things
start? You know, I'm hopeful I'm a Jet for life and that we get this thing rolling and that we, you know, that all of our best days are ahead of us. You know, I don't know exactly what that looks like, but I'm going to go do my part to make sure that, you know, that it's undeniable, you know, when the time does come and those conversations are being had. You know, I'm going to try and do my part to make sure that it's undeniable. And yeah, I'll say that.
Jet for life. We hope, right, Zach?
Famous last words, I guess. Yeah, I think this was significant, honestly. Like, it's the first time he's been declarative about wanting to be a Jet. I think, you know, I'd report in the offseason that he wanted to re-sign with the Jets. That would be like a sign that he felt like they were committed to him. But this is the first time he said, you know, he's a guy that there's a lot of talk last year about, including here and in my stories, about his frustration, his annoyance, and the idea that if things didn't change, he wasn't going to want to leave. that's a funny comment from Taylor Delgado that you just put on the screen. It says, can the power of friendship save the Jets? but yeah, Garrett, you know, he had every right to be frustrated the last couple of years. I did think that if things didn't get better, if it was Aaron Rodgers again, or if it was Nate Hackett again, or if it was all the turmoil around him again, he might not want it to come back, whether it's this year or next year. But things have changed. He has his buddy at quarterback. Whether that, like, you know, portends to success or not, we'll find out. But they've done a lot of things that indicate they want him. I think they clearly are building this offense kind of around him because they don't have other receivers you can really bank on. He's the guy. There's an Aaron Glenn clip. I'm not sure if you're
going to. Yeah, let's hear that. Yeah.
We know what type of playmaker Garrett is.
Yep.
And, you know, how talented he is. Is there something you see from him in your short time with him or that you're learning about him that you think can go even further?
Give him the ball as much as possible. Give him the ball as much as possible. That's it.
Man, a few words, Aaron Glenn.
Well, it was he's made a few words when he just like is making a statement, which it was just like really perfect because the question, it didn't even answer the question really. But he just like wanted to say that. Like it's clear they're making it obvious that they love Garrett and they want him here. I think those are the right words that the fans want to hear because, you know, I know there's detractors who will say like, look at the target numbers. He had a lot of targets last year, which is true from start. Like if you look at the totality of the season, but the context is lost. Devonta Adams gets there and Aaron Rodgers was ignoring him in the red zone. And there were stretches of games where he was getting ignored and they're going to be funneling targets his way when they're not running the ball. So Aaron Glenn saying that publicly is good for Garrett being happy. It's good for the fans being happy and it's good just for strategy purposes. So, it was a cool sequence all around between him and Garrett. Garrett had some other great quotes. We're going to get into Justin Fields so we can talk about that when we get to Fields. But, I love covering Garrett. Like he's just a pleasure to cover. Even if I never talked to him in the locker room, just at the podium, his comfortability up there. Like a lot of these guys are nervous, especially early in their career. He's just like so well spoken, so thoughtful. He speaks from the hip. He doesn't shy away from answering questions. And if he does, you know, there was a question about how he was so obviously upset last year, and the question was posed like how do you feel about your time with Aaron Rodgers and what do you say about like how frustrated, like I forget the phrasing, but he ignored the Aaron Rodgers part of the question, which I thought was notable. Not notable, but you know, expected, but
potential landmine.
But I think Garrett sees an opportunity to just like be the star of this team. And I think the coaching staff is going to be smart enough to feature him better than Nathaniel Hackett did for a year and a half before he got demoted. So, again, it's really early, so I'm not trying to overreact to anything that we see or hear this time of the year, but this is also an encouraging part of the Aaron Glenn experience. And I won't be able to be at the press conference next week and we hear from the coordinators for the first time. I was really hoping it wouldn't happen that way, but of course it did. So I'm not gonna be able to hear what Tanner Engstrand says, but he's gonna talk next week. He'll be asked about Garrett Wilson and I'm sure he's gonna rave about him. And it's gonna be clearer and clearer that the staff is gonna feature him as the guy in the offense.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Host. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethost.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Host. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethost.com/terms.
All right, let's move on to your observations of the week. Getting to check out the on-action stuff, which obviously at this point, when there's no pads and there's all of that, there's only so much. But that said, quarterbacks were throwing the ball. Receivers were catching them. Pass rushers were rushing the passer. So let's start with Fields because you mentioned that. Obvious chemistry, right, between Fields and Wilson. Like you mentioned how Aaron Rodgers ignored Wilson in the red zone for times and for stretches. If anything, I think the fear here may be that like Fields forces it to Wilson a little too much, maybe once the season gets going. I mean, we'll see, and maybe that's nothing. Yeah. But like, he's definitely going to be his guy.
On the, like, I'll say again, this is very light practices, and I'm not going to try and judge anything too positive or negative. I don't think he looked amazing, but I'll get into the details of that in a second. But I'd say like it already seems to me like he's comfortable throwing it to Garrett even when he's covered, which. Like, just shows you confidence.
That's what the fan base has been asking, begging for, yeah. Right, for 3 years. Yeah. It's like, don't worry Garrett, if he's Garrett's, open from the ball.
Garrett's going to make the play. And there was a throw in team drills, I think it was in the two-minute drill at the end of practice, where Fields kind of threw it away from Garrett Wilson's body, but with his outstretched arms, he pulled it in and made a great catch. That chemistry is obvious. And the Ohio State trio, like, I mean, what is it with four people when you have four people in a group?
Quartet. There you go.
Yeah, the quartet of Ohio State people, including Josh Myers and Jeremy Ruckert, because Josh Myers is going to have a shot to play center. We're going to talk about that. But Jeremy Ruckert also got a heavy dose of targets. I think it's probably because he was getting a lot of the reps with Fields in the beginning. I imagine they'll rotate those guys through. Mason Taylor had a few catches from Tyrod Taylor, but I think that that chemistry is. I'm sure that was part of the appeal of bringing Justin Fields in too. Like, you have an environment that he should be comfortable in right away, because when his close friends, and Garrett had this funny quote about him, Ruckert and Fields, where he's like, you know, it's at the point now, like when I'm not with them, I miss them, mm-hmm. which is a very, very funny, cute quote. But also Garrett like went into this quote that I think kind of blew up with Bears Twitter. It looked like when I tweeted out the quote where he said like, I would watch his film from because they were friends. He played with him for 2 years in Ohio State. I would watch film from his time with the Bears, and I would see plays, and I'd be like, oh I would have caught that, like, because guys either dropping it or being out of position or whatever. And he's just like, I think people have been sleeping on Fields since he was drafted. He thought he should have been drafted higher. This is Zach Wilson draft, if you remember. And he felt like he's been underrated in the NFL, and that he feels like he's going to unleash, and the world has to see what he believes Justin Fields can do. And so you believe it coming from Garrett. Obviously, he's his friend. He's not going to speak negatively of him, but you know, we're going to find out just how much like that chemistry between those two is going to translate on the field.
Yeah, it should be good. Now, how about on the field? I know you love tracking the numbers at OTA, Zach. So how are the numbers?
Yeah, there wasn't like a lot of passes to track, unfortunately. Like, there was during warmups, they did a walkthrough basically. And I was like writing it down, and the other reporters like, are you really tracking the walkthrough stats? And I was just keeping up with who he was throwing it to more than anything. But yeah, when you got to the 11 on 11 and the 7-on-7s, I'd say it was like a mixed bag. When it was 11 on 11 in particular, there was a lot of pressure. And I think the defensive line generally tends to win these battles this time of the year because of the lack of physicality, and they're able to just kind of go around them. But the D-line, like Will McDonald in particular, was dominant. Byron Coward actually stood out to me next to Quinnen. He looked really good. He's probably the favorite to start, I would say. But yeah, there was, you know, pressure from Michael Carter the second. There's pressure from Quincy Williams. Like, he's been pressured pretty consistently. I'd say he probably would have been sacked like four or five times in team drills, which isn't ideal. But again, I'm not judging that harshly. It was also rainy and windy. I'm not trying to make all these excuses, but it was like an OTA practice. So he probably completed four or five passes. Technically, he missed a pretty open Stone Smart down the field at one point. A lot of check downs. The pass to Garrett wasn't perfectly accurate, but it's clear right away just how athletic this guy is. Like, he looks to scramble. I don't think it's like his first, like, immediately I'm going to scramble, but as the pocket was breaking down, he was able to move around and get away. And, you know, whether he picked up yards or not, he was able to get away and not get sacked a couple times. So, That's going to be the most exciting part about watching him is, does he use that as a crutch, and how much of that is going to be a weapon for the Jets when things break down? I think this offensive line is going to be better than they looked in that practice. Membo is his first practice as a pro, and he's going to have some bumps in the road, but I do think this will be a solid offensive line. So I'm curious to see what Justin Fields look like when he has time, because he should have time.
You mentioned Will McDonald looking good, and Will McDonald also looking big, 15 pounds of muscle added, which is something we've talked about since he got drafted, right? Like, the whole thing was like that this guy was kind of needed to fill out. And then he went out last year and had double digit sacks without filling out.
Yeah.
Now he has filled out. Did he get bigger and keep the speed?
I mean, it looks like it so far. I thought Aaron Glenn's comments about him were pretty interesting. Like he's coached some pretty talented defensive ends, especially in Detroit. And he said he hasn't really had one like him before. And so their goal is to unleash him as a pass rusher. And they knew like he needed to bulk up because he needs to be able to win one-on-one against offensive tackles. Like I think he was able to have a lot of success last year in part because he's so long and athletic and his spin move is like deadly, but that can't be your only thing in your pass rush repertoire. You're gonna have to win with power sometimes. And so the key to unlocking Will McDonald and getting better in the run game is bulking up. And that's been a topic since he was drafted. Like you mentioned, he was like 230, 225 or something when he came out. I think he's listed at like 235, but if he added 15, he's probably closer to the 250 range right now, which you're getting there and you feel pretty good about it. And they need him to be really good this year because the depth at defensive end is really, really bad. Like Michael Clemens was getting a lot of reps. Jermaine Johnson's not practicing yet, but I'd say the dreams that Jets fans have of Michael Clemens being cut in the near future are just going to stay as dreams until or unless they sign somebody else because he's their top backup. The rest of the guys are either undrafted, a late draft pick like Tyler Barron, or it's a veteran like Rashad Weaver who hasn't had a sack in like 3 years. So they don't have a lot of depth, so they need Will McDonald to play a lot of snaps, and they need him to be effective not only in the passing game. And it was an encouraging first practice. He's historically been dominant in these things. Like his rookie year, he was really good. He was very good last year in training camp, and I expect the same, especially if he's going to be going against a rookie for even some of the snaps, which he will be. He has these moves in his repertoire that I imagine Membo hasn't really faced. So that's going to be a fun one to watch, seeing how Membo develops going against a guy like that and how they deploy Will McDonald in this defense with Steve Wilks, which I think is going to be a pretty aggressive defense in the pass rush. So
other side of the ball in the line, I think there's been an assumption since draft that like, hey, Joe Tippmann is hopefully this team's center for a long time, right? They drafted him second round, right, Tippmann? Second round. But here comes Josh Myers, and suddenly there's a competition that's been being called by Aaron Glenn, a competition.
Yeah, actually, Darren Mugi was the first one who said it.
It was Mugi.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So so when we watch practice, we're not allowed to like report on who goes with first team, second team, all that stuff. So I can't get into specifics, but I'd say like it's pretty clear to me that there's going to be a competition at center there. John Simpson alluded to it in his press conference. He said those guys have been competing their asses off against each other. It's mildly surprising, I think, to the fan base, especially if you just look at the facts. Like you said, one guy's a second round pick. The other guy they signed to a pretty small contract. But there are other factors at play. Like Josh Myers is more experienced than Tippmann technically. He's played with Justin Fields in college. He didn't have a great year in Green Bay last year. I think he's generally been a solid center. I do think the flip side of that is Joe Tippmann, I think, has a lot of potential, and he's very intriguing as this like big athletic guy, smart kid. But at the same time, I don't think he was as like great last year as maybe the perception from the fan base. I think he can be a really solid center. I don't see like star potential necessarily. It would still be surprising to me if Joe Tippmann wasn't ultimately starting. And maybe this is just a way of pushing him or making Justin Fields more comfortable or whatever it is. But yeah, I think that's going to be a competition to track in training camp, and I'm curious to see how it plays out and if they split the reps or how they do it.
So other standouts, I don't know, undrafted free agents, just other guys that stood out to you that you took notice of watching these practices.
Yeah, I mentioned Byron Cowart. He was getting a lot of pressure. I think he has a real good shot to start next to Quinnen Williams. Arian Smith had a catch with the backups. Alan Lazard actually had a pretty impressive catch with Tyrod Taylor in the 2-minute drill where Tyrod threw it behind him and Alan was like sliding on the ground in the rain and pulled the catch in. You know, that it would be interesting if Alan Lazard can fix some of his drop issues without Aaron Rodgers there. But I think Tyler Johnson, someone I have my eye on. I think he's kind of flown under the radar because they've added a few other receivers, but I think they like him. I mentioned Ruckert. Trying to think of some other ones. I'd say in the third team, like the backups with like when Adrian Martinez and like Brady Cook were playing quarterback, I noticed Fatorma Mulba, he's an undrafted defensive tackle. He got a sack at one point, I believe. Those are kind of the ones that jump out to me. Oh, and Azaria Thomas looked pretty good again with his reps in team drills as well. But again, like, this is one practice. Unfortunately, I'll be able to see next week to have the observations, but I'll be at the one after that and the two mini camps. And then I'll have a pretty good idea after that of like guys to keep an eye on going into training camp. And then training camp is where that you really start evaluating. Like Aaron Glenn even said, like, you can't really evaluate the physical part of things right now. It's more the mental side of things. So like a guy who's looking good in practice right now probably doesn't matter ultimately. Like Byron Cowart might not stand out when we get to training camp, for all I know. Javon Kinlaw looks pretty good in shorts this time of the year too, and he was not very good. So yeah, so that's just something to keep in mind. But those were the kind of ones that jumped to my mind.
All right, let's talk kickers. Last episode we talked about Thomas Morstead and, you know, saying goodbye to him. As you said, a leader. And it's hard to be a leader as a punter. So it kind of goes to show what kind of guy he was, but he's gone. And now Greg Zuerlein is also gone. So there's this new place kicking competition. Obviously Zuerlein was hurt, you know, last year. So
yeah,
Anders Carlson became part of this team then, but you have Carlson and you have undrafted rookie Caden Davis. So kind of sum up how those guys looked.
Yeah. So we got to see some field goals at the end of practice. Anders Carlson nailed, I believe, 250 plus. One of them looked like it was close to 60, but it was hard to see from our angle where exactly they were. He was like 3 for 4. He missed a shorter one wide left, which feels like a Jets kicker type of move. And then Caden Davis missed his long one and made all his short ones. I'd lean towards Anders Carlson having the edge right now, but they're trying to get young, and the undrafted rookie is the younger one. So we didn't get to watch any punting yet, so I haven't been able to evaluate the punting battle, but you know, we haven't had a kicking battle since what year was Zuerlein? 22, maybe?
23?
That was 23. I can't remember Zuerlein's first year, but he battled with Eddie Pinheiro, I believe it was. So maybe that was 22. They had a battle in that camp, and Zuerlein won it. I know historically Jets writers have a lot of experience covering kicking battles, so this will be my second one. It'll be interesting to see it. I know Jets fans will be invested in it, so if I say somebody misses a field goal, they're going to lose their mind or whatever, but... it'll be something to track. Like, this is a young special teams group, even down to the special teams coordinator who retired from the NFL like 2 years ago, Chris Banjo. Like, this young special teams coordinator. You have I think the assistant special teams coordinator has been around a long time, but you're probably going to have either a rookie kicker or Anders Carlson, who's pretty young. You're going to have a rookie punter for sure if they keep those two guys. The returner is probably going to be Kenny Nwangwu or, I don't know, Xavier Gibson or Corley or something like that, if Corley is an option back there. It's a young group, so it's going to be interesting. And that's an important unit. Like, they've emphasized special teams with this coaching staff. So it's going to be interesting to see if they go through growing pains as a unit or if they're able to get off to the races.
I think people should remember Greg Zuerlein with this franchise fondly because, like you mentioned, it 2022. And before that, it was... kicker after kicker and rough. And he came in and he settled things, right? He settled things down. I think for a couple years here, there was like, all right, we don't have to worry about the kicker. In fact, he drilled some big ones along the way, big yardage.
I know Commanders fans love him because he beat them in 23 at the end of the year on a last second field goal, and doing that enabled them to get Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
So I saw a lot of Commanders fans being like thanking him for everything when he got cut by the Jets and saying he belongs in like their Ring of Honor or something like that. So
Sam Ficken, Taylor throws out. Yeah. I mean, we could go through the names of all the kickers that went through the Jets, and Greg Zuerlein for a few years at least held that down. Hopefully one of these guys can do that now for the next few years. You know, the life of a kicker with a specific team is always short because you get a bad spell, you get released, you end up somewhere else. You know, there's very few that stick around with the same team for a long time. Anything else before we say goodbye? Are we saying goodbye until after the wedding?
Yeah, until after the wedding.
Podcast next week, right?
Yeah, I don't think I will unless something happens on like Tuesday. But after that, I'm out.
Garrett Wilson signing on Tuesday.
Yeah, I'm just say watch that happen while like during my wedding or something like that. That would be funny or not funny.
Bring your microphone to Nashville.
Yeah. No, I don't think I can do that. I might get in trouble. I'd say June 1st is coming up, so there's always the potential some interesting guys get cut after June 1st. So
yeah.
I don't think the Jets are going to make like a big splashy move, but there's some veterans out there. I saw some buzz about the idea of Amari Cooper. I do not see that happening. Maybe if they got rid of Alan Lazard, but even then, I don't think Cooper fits what they're looking for at their receivers. They want run blockers. Cooper's kind of past his prime. He's probably washed up. I wouldn't hate it just in terms of just having a proven guy there if he was healthy, but I don't think they're going to make that kind of move. Za'Darius Smith is the interesting one to me. I can't say for sure they will or won't do that, but he'd be one that would make a lot of sense considering his Aaron Glenn ties and the lack of depth at defensive end. But like that would be the upcoming news that I would anticipate, but I don't see it happening right now. So
Dan Bodders, we keep bringing this up, but don't forget that Connor broke a free agent signing.
I know. I might have to ask somebody in the chat to give me some news to break.
Yeah, so give me something.
Keep up. Yeah.
And you can tag Connor on X.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. That's going to do it for us. Send your well wishes to Zach. We should post the wedding registry in the comments section.
I don't know about
anything that hasn't been claimed. Maybe people will jump on. All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you soon. This has been the Flight Plan Podcast.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.